Open your Bibles with me again in the book of Leviticus, chapter 9. Leviticus 9, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Then again, prepare yourself to read together with me verses 22 to 24. I'm going to read alone verses 1 to 4, then we'll read with you with your voice. I want to hear your voices. Yes, thus says the Lord. On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a ram goat, a male goat, for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram, for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. Let's read together from verse 22. We read, then Aaron lifted up his hands without the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Let's pray together. Our glorious, majestic, and most holy God, who reigns forever, we come before you once again. We come here, Lord, through the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are here in your presence, and you are here with us, O Lord. Bless us through your word, we plead. Use me to bring it forth to us. Let it edify us and give glory to you. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. I've been in this city for so many years. But I'll never forget the day I came to this city. From the village. Yeah, there I've been hearing people talk about Kampala being a very beautiful city and big city with very very tall houses that walk. Yeah, that's what I could hear people say. And I was really yearning to one day come and see this Kampala people talk about. When that day came, we traveled. You know, many trips I've got stopovers. So you stop somewhere for, using restrooms or having some meal. And then you continue. Meaning that you have a destination. These stopovers are not your destination. It was nighttime. And I remember reaching at some small towns, and I always thought that was Kampala. When we reached Mbarara City, I had slumbered a bit. When I opened my eyes and the bus had stopped, I was like, wow, I asked the neighbor, is this Kampala?
He
said, no, we are still a long way to go.
So,
I was yearning to reach this big city. I want to see those tall houses that walk. And finally, we reached Kampala around 11:30 p.m. The conductor is telling people, no, now get ready, we arrived. My mind was not there, it was just my eyes everywhere. What's this? I'd never seen something like this before. And I know this is not only with me, even with you, you know it very well. In the book of Leviticus, today in chapter 9, we have arrived with our destination. Yes, we are not ending it here. It is still as many other chapters after chapter 9. But today, this is the destination. We've been having many stopovers. And many of us have been longing to reach chapter 9. Why? Because the whole book of Leviticus is all about worship. The worship of the living God. Because God wants his people to worship him, he also wants to restore a communion relationship with them. And he started by coming from his heavens above. God coming from his heavens above to a mountain. He came closer to his people. Then from the mountain to the tabernacle. Now, much as he was closer to them, but he was not, done yet, because he wanted to come out, because there was still a separation between him and his people. And he wanted to break that wall and come to his people so that they could behold his glory. And this has been prepared for from chapter 1, verse 1 of this book. Obviously, we all want God to come closer to us, forgetting that it's very, very extremely dangerous for you to want God to come closer to you. Because he's the most holy God and we are the most sinful people. So he says, if you want me to come so that you see me, 5 sacrifices to purify you. So hence chapters 1 through 7 of Leviticus, preparing people for God to come out to them, because he is close, he is too close to them. No, he is already close to them, but he wants to come out and mingle with them. So hence the first 7 chapters. Not only that, you need a good priesthood, a good representation that will stand between me and you. And there we see in the whole of chapter 8. You know the steps that Aaron and his sons went through for them to be accepted as priests before the Holy God. The ordination took 7 full weeks. Days, 1 week. And each and every day, they were being purified of their sins, giving sacrifices. And now, those 7 days are done. We want to enter the eighth day. I've told you that God is coming closer to his people. But this is extremely dangerous. Remember, according to Yahweh himself, no human can see him and live. In Exodus 33, verses 18 and 20, we read this. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, this is Yahweh, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Listen to this. "But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And yet he wants to leave the tabernacle and come out so that people could see him. I don't see whether you are like me, you are seeing these many dead like fish. He wants to come out so that his people could see him. Yet no man can see God and live. So himself, he knows that truth. And he is preparing the way for people to see him and remain alive. In this chapter, men are going to see the glory of God and will not die. Why? How come? This chapter shows you what you need in order for you to stand in the presence of the living God. What you need for you to be able to behold the glory of God without dying. Check this. In Moses' question, in Exodus 33, Moses asked God, "Please show me your glory." He asked for glory. And God is answering him, "You cannot see my face." These two are the same. The glory of God is his face. His face is his glory. God is restoring communion between him and mankind by coming closer to him, as I've been showing. And today, this is the eighth day. The seventh day of purification ended yesterday. Now we have an established priesthood. Aaron, the high priest, who represents our Lord Jesus Christ, and his four sons, priests, who represent the rest of you. So now, almost everything the Lord wanted in place for him to come out of the tabernacle into his people have been done. He is now getting ready to come out. In this chapter, we are going to look into some more details what you need in order for you to behold the face of of God without dying. And that's the title of our message this morning. What you need for you to stand in the presence of the most glorious and holy God. You need only three things. You need a perfect high priest. Number two, you need a perfect sacrifice. And the third thing you need is that sacrifice to be accepted by God. If these three things are in place, you can dine with God on the same table. So let's begin. For you to be able to see God without dying, you need a perfect high priest. This is what verses 1 through 14 of this chapter cover. You need a perfect high priest. And this talks about Christ's life. In verse 1, we read this. On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. In the Bible, 7 is the number of perfection, completion. And 8 is considered the number of newness. Number of new beginnings. The priests have gone through a perfection for 7 days. That's completion. Nothing more to add. When a house is complete, it's complete. You just need to enter it. That's why on the eighth day, we are beginning new things. Moses called Aaron, his sons, and the elders of Israel. Yeah, these elders came to represent the nation, the whole congregation. Now, Aaron, because he has gone through the ordination, is now fully a high priest. And Moses is performing his very last duties, because henceforth, Aaron will be speaking from God, from God to people. So Moses asked Aaron to get a bull and a ram. And offer them for his own sin and burnt offering respectively. I don't know, can't you be surprised like me by hearing these things like this? It's just yesterday that Aaron and his sons ended their 7 full days of purification at the tabernacle. Preparing for their ordination. Yet they still had sin to atone for before they could perform their very first sacrifice. What comes into your mind? One, God is very serious with sin. He's very serious with sin. Two, there's nothing we can do to get out of sin. For 7 days, Aaron and his sons have been slaughtering animals and animals and animals. So I thought that they are now clean enough. to make their very first sacrifice on behalf of the people. But God told Moses, tell him to get a bull and a ram, to slaughter them for his own, him as the high priest first. During the 7 days, after atoning for most of his sins, Aaron had added more sins to his account. Even through his thoughts. Remember when we were going through the sacrifices. Even what you don't think about, God knows about it. And the question is, how can we be out of sin? And I answered myself last night, no way. There's nothing you can do. How can you get something perfect out of imperfection? And Muganda can say, Beramu nawe Aaron, be serious. After going through 7 days of purification, still God still is demanding things from you. Remember, God wants communion. He wants communion with you. And he's looking for a representative. He wants to make a holy people, perfect people. Now, how can you get perfection from something imperfect? For you to behold the face of God without dying, you need a perfect priest. Aaron and all other high priests failed this test. Except one of those high priests, Jesus of Nazareth. He is on the list of the high priests that have ever come. All of them failed the test. Jesus passed it. Jesus alone is that perfect high priest that you need. If you want to see the glory of God one day, why? Examine his life. He was perfect, sinless. In John 8:46, he asked the scribes and the Pharisees, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? He asked them, and not even one of them said, I'm here. Which one of you can convict me of sin? Hebrews 7:26-28 says, verse 26, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. We jump to verse 28. For the law appoints men in their weakness and as high priests. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, Appoint a son who has been made perfect forever. If we had continued with the list of high priests, would be without hope forever. Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life here for us. This is the high priest from whom God can make perfect people. Who has perfect eyes that can behold his glory and remain alive? The Father said, "This is my only begotten Son in whom I'm well pleased." It's in Jesus alone. Is this high priest yours? Does he know you? Did he make sacrifice for your sins? If yes, then you are the most blessed person on earth. And if no, it's not yet late. You just need to cry to him. Beg him to save your life. Otherwise, there's nothing you can do to be sinless. Two, for you to be able to see God without dying, you need a perfect sacrifice. This is what verses 15 through 21 cover. They are talking about a sacrifice. Now listen. You could have this perfect priest, but if he brought a lame sacrifice, a diseased sacrifice, both the high priest and you he wanted to sacrifice for would be in trouble. Because of his holiness, God does not need only a perfect high priest. He needs also the perfect sacrifice. That's why whenever he asks people to bring animals to stand in for their sins, he told them to go among their flock and choose an animal without defect. It should not be lame. It should not be sick in any way. It should be even the best in your heart. One of the, okay, not on the best animal that you love among your animals. So God, for him to come to you so that you commune together, he needs a perfect high priest to offer a perfect sacrifice for you. Much as you have a perfect high priest, I've told you, in Jesus, you still can't see the face of God and live. You also need the perfect sacrifice. Verse 15, we read this. Then he presented the people's offering. Now this is Aaron. Because remember, we have two types of high priests. The carnal and sinful high priest, Aaron. And the heavenly and sinless Jesus Christ. Try to see their differences, friends. Aaron has already been shamed us. He would be representing us. But after going through purification for 7 days, still God says, no, get a bull and offer it for your sins. And now here, he wants to give his very first sacrifice for the people. Check where you went for it. Verse 15, then he presented this Aaron, he presented the people's offering and took, listen, the goat. Yeah, these are his sacrifices. Verse 18, then he killed the ox and the ram. The list is long. In brief, the sacrifices of Aaron are a goat, a bull, an ox, those animals. God tells him, I need a perfect sacrifice. Yeah, for him, he goes to goats and bulls. Yeah, that was the stuff at his level. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus the high priest. What did he offer for you? Was it a bull or a sheep or a goat? Hebrews 10 verses 4 and 5 says, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The sacrifices of Aaron are being put down. Wasn't he going to animals? And the Bible says, I repeat, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The sacrifice of the high priest Aaron are being discarded. Verse 5 says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, this is just Christ saying, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. What do you desire now, Yahweh? And Jesus gives the answer, but a body have you prepared for me. Those animals were for Aaron. But remember, God is trying to make a perfect people. He wants to get a perfect people for himself. Yet you cannot get something perfect from imperfection. Hebrews 7:27 says, he has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Aaron was offering bulls and goats and sheep and what. When Jesus came, he did not look for any animal. His own body was ready to be broken for you. Aaron could get a goat and he slaughters it. But Jesus Christ came, himself was the high priest, and his body was that perfect sacrifice. In other words, he himself carried his body to be burned for you. Pastor Bill, why are you talking about, was it burnt? I don't remember reading that in the Bible. It was severely burnt. the wrath of God fell upon it. This is the perfect sacrifice you need if you want your eyes to see the face of God. Again, I ask you, is this the sacrifice that atoned for your sins? If yes, then you are the most blessed person on earth. Not President Museveni. No, it's you. And if not yet, run to him. Cry that he will save your life. Number three, for you to be able to see God without dying, even if you are this perfect sacrifice, high priest, and he offers this perfect sacrifice, still you cannot see God and live. How do you know that that sacrifice was perfect? It has to be accepted by God. And this is what verses 22 to 24 cover. You need a perfect high priest. And this talks about the life of Jesus Christ. You need a perfect sacrifice, and this talks about the death of Jesus Christ. And finally, you need that sacrifice need to be accepted by God, and this talks about the resurrection of Christ. In verses 22 and 20 through 24, we see that after finishing to offer his very first sacrifices, because by verse 22, Aaron is done. He has performed his very first sacrifices. So after that, what did he do? And if you read your Bible keenly, you see that Moses is no longer on the scene. It's now Aaron. Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. Then the last act of Moses is this one. Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle. Since we started the book of Leviticus, this is when they go there. God is being satisfied. That is toward the sacrifices. The priesthood is already there in place. Now, not the priest, but the high priest and Moses enter the tabernacle. And when they came out, again, both of them, Moses and Aaron, blessed the people. And I'll check what happened after they had come out of the tabernacle and blessed the people. Verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. God is out of the tabernacle, friends. He is out. Again, what came into my mind when I saw God come out to meet his people? It was grace. Because trust me, up to this point, to this level, I don't believe that Aaron is clean enough. He would have been clean after the 7 days of purification. And if he was not clean on the eighth day, then even now he's not ready. But because of his grace, God comes out. And again, remember, he's teaching people a lesson about the coming high priest. People are just outside the tabernacle at the entrance, at the door. And what they saw, they had not seen before. The glory of God comes out. They haven't died. Because those three things have been put in place. God comes out of the tabernacle. And what did they see? Verse 24. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. The word is, the Bible is clear here to mention that the fire came from before the Lord. Because some people might have thought that maybe it's Aaron who went and put fire there, or no one. Fire came. Obviously, whenever God appears or shows his presence, fire is seen. Because the Bible says that our God is consuming fire. He does not need to do any fire in hell, because even himself to come closer to you with your sins is enough fire. Do you need God to come closer to you, RBC members? Think twice about it. It's extremely dangerous. So they see fire. What do they do after seeing that? And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Yeah, so many preachers say that those were shouts of joy. I don't deny that. Because the Hebrew word used here on the word shout, yeah, it has some connotation of joy. Why did they put their faces down? Because it was too much for them. So it was joy mingled or mixed with fear. Oh! You just can't tell me that you can behold God and you just simply rejoice. They feared terribly. Because it first happened to them when God came down on the mountain. As we've seen Exodus 20, 18. And we read this. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." You know that you are serving the God of the New Testament, right? That's why you do whatever you want to do. Like I say, Pastor Bill is how do you call those you theologians? He's a perfectionist, he wants us to... No! My point always is that my God, the God I serve, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even if he's quiet, whenever you say you worship him and then you go into your sins. So it came down the fire. Where did it go? To the golden altar. And it consumed. Remember, all these offerings for the people were the high priest had put them on the altar. Waiting for God's response. Now he has responded. Aaron's sacrifice has been accepted. It comes and consumed it as a sign that I've accepted this offering. Come back to the original high priest, Jesus Christ. He gave the perfect sacrifice of his own body that was beaten and broken and bruised for you. And he was hanged on the cross, totally naked, until when he said, "It is finished." He gave out his spirit. And then you might ask, but how can one know that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice for my sins? Because with Aaron, fire came down and burned the sacrifice on the altar. What about Jesus? How can I be sure that God accepted his sacrifice for me? Ephesians that we read this morning, chapter 1, verse 19 says this: "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power?" Oh, let me get it from, verse 15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints," 19, "and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." So you see, the resurrection, in Luke 24, verse 5, there's this question. The angel asked the people at the tomb, "What are you doing here? Why are you looking for the living from among the dead? He is risen." Let me tell you, friends, whatever Jesus did, put his perfect life here, mix it with his perfect sacrifice, the obedience to the Father. If he did not come from the dead, we were finished. All that would be equal to zero. That's why the resurrection of Christ is a sign that the Father had stamped the sacrifice of the Son for you. Okay, there is this fable. It's a fable. It's a legend. It's a tradition, a Jewish tradition. It's nowhere found in scripture. The idea that a high priest used to go with a rope into the Holy of Holies so that if he went there with sin, he died there, then they pulled the corpse. That is nowhere written in scripture. These are stories from the Jews. But because even Josephus does not write something like that. But some Jews say that in the latter temples, that used to happen. Okay, you can prove that God was serious, warning the high priest seriously before he enters there. When you read Leviticus 16, verse 2, then verse 13. And even God was using the word die. Be careful before you enter into the Holy of Holies, lest you die. Meaning that there is death if you went anyhow before the burning fire. Now, if a high priest went there with sins, he would not come back alive. If the tradition is true, is right, then they could pull the corpse. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, went before the Father. He died. And we waited there, we were there waiting for 3 days. If he did not come back, that means God was furious with him and killed him and left him among the dead. But he came back alive, and he lives for us. As we end, not only the high priest needs to offer sacrifices. When you read, you can see that even the sons of Aaron were helping the father in these sacrifices by bringing the blood, and the father puts his finger there and splashes here and there. So the high priest also have a part to play in sacrifices. You of the New Testament, these are the sacrifices that you need to, those of you who are born again Christians. Number one, you need to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 107 verse 22. Two, you need to give the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart. Psalm 51 verse 17. You need, on daily basis, every single day of your life, you need to give the sacrifice of your life. Romans 12 verse 1. You need to give the sacrifice of your reasonable service to the Lord. Romans 12 verse 1. You need to offer the sacrifice of doing good to others. Hebrews 13:15. They are called sacrifices here. You read when you reach home. You need to always give the sacrifice of praise to God. Sorry, doing good to other people, Hebrews 13:16, doing good to others. Then sacrifice of praise to God, Hebrews 13:15. Then you need to give the offering of obedience to your leaders. Offering of your things, as a brother said this morning. So many offerings, by the way. Do you give them? Oh, if you do, how do you give them? We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you because you enabled us to stand before the Father every single second of our lives. Because in Leviticus 9, he simply came among his people. But with us today, he dwells in us, in your saints. We move with him. We sleep with him. Oh Lord, he came again closer than what we've seen in this chapter 9. Thank all that is because of you, our perfect high priest. Through your perfect sacrifice, your body, your death on the cross, and how it was accepted by the law, by the Father, but through your resurrection from the dead. We thank you and give you glory. May you have mercy and save those of us who are still trying to atone for their own sins, which they can't. Help us, O Lord. Thank you for encouraging us. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.